Good morning and welcome to Sharpening Our Souls, the ministry of Old River Baptist Church with Senior Pastor Danny Binney. We're excited that you're joining us this morning, and we would love it if you could come and be a part of our morning worship and Bible study at the church on Old River. To find out our service times, you can visit us on the web at www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call our church office at 281-576-6030. Let's join our pastor this morning as he delivers our sermon from the Word of God.
I'm hooked on a feeling, high on believing that Jesus loves me. I don't know how many of you were even alive back when B.J. Thomas recorded a song called Hooked on a Feeling. Yes, I saw that hand. But those were the words that kind of started off that song, except I just changed them up. And I just wonder how many of us in here this morning are hooked on that feeling and high on believing in the one who shed his blood and gave his life for us. And maybe you're here today and you're thinking, oh, but how could he save a wretch like me? But he did. He did. He died so that all who would could come to him. And whosoever will may come. I want to tell you, it doesn't matter who you are, how far back in the sticks you're from or whatever. There's a guy at the rodeo, and I've met him years and years ago, and he's one of the judges that if you ever go to the rodeo, you'll see the judges out there on the dirt, and they judge the timed events. And this guy's name is DeWitt, and he is quite a wit, let me tell you. He is just so funny. He is just always coming up with something funny, you know. And the other day, he was talking to me. He was talking about what a great Christian man his dad was. And I said, well, DeWitt, if your dad was such a great guy, I said, you told me that you ran away from home whenever you were 14, 15 years old. He said, I said, why did you do that? He said, well, Brother Danny, he said, because my stepmother sold my horse. He said, all I ever wanted to be was a cowboy, and she stole my horse, not sold it. She stole it. And I said, oh, really? And, of course, DeWitt, you talk to him, I mean, he loves the Lord, and but he is so country that he makes country look urban, you know. I mean, and he said, Brother Danny, so my family's so messed up, so during the Civil War, we fought for the West. He said, we were so far back in the country, so we only got the rainbow in black and white. But he loves the Lord. And he's so enjoyable to be around. And there are several other things he shared, but we won't go into all that. But you know what? It doesn't matter if your family is so messed up they fought for the West in the war, the North and the South. Doesn't matter if you're so far back in the country where you grew up that you only got the rainbow in black and white. Jesus loves you. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're from. It is amazing what our Lord has done to let us know that he loves us. And I'm hooked on a feeling. And I'm high on believing over the love that Jesus has given to me. And the privilege of calling me into his ministry. I was sharing with someone that visiting with us today for the first time. And I just got to telling them about whenever I was growing up. Well, I worked for Brown Root Construction. I was an insulator. And I said, and the more I worked for being an insulator for Brown Root, the more I was praying God would call me into the ministry. And I love it. I love it. I love that God has invited me to be a laborer in his field. Let's look at a story that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 20, beginning with verse 1. Well, the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now, when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, now that's about half a penny. when he agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, you also go. So he invited them to go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you. So they went. Again, he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day? And they said, because no one hired us. He said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive. So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more. And they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do that? Do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first and the first last, for many are called, but few are chosen. His name was Guy. And for whatever reason, God threw me as a young preacher just on the field here at Old River, threw us together, me and this old fella. He was a man that owned heavy equipment and was a heavy equipment contractor. And we just became friends. He didn't know the Lord. And many times I talked with Guy and I said, Guy, and I shared the gospel with him. And he said, preacher, I just can't. I just can't. He said, preacher, I've been so bad. He said, I don't even want to tell you how bad I've been. Eventually, he did share some things with me. And I said, do you think Jesus didn't die for that? And the years rocked on, and I never could even get Guy to come to church. But one day I got a phone call. Guy was at the old Gulf Coast Hospital in Baytown. Guy had had a stroke, and he had had a bad one. And I walked in there. He could just barely mumble. He couldn't move one whole side. I walked over to him and I put my hand over on him. I said, Guy, can you believe now? And he nodded his head, yes. And as best he could, he said the word, yes. And so I went, I shared the plan of salvation with Guy. And I said, Guy, is there any reason you wouldn't be willing to give your heart to Jesus? And he shook his head. No. I said, would you like to pray that prayer right now? He shook his head, yes. And I said, well, I'm going to pray that prayer, and as best you can, you let these words be the words from your heart. And as best he could, he repeated that prayer. Though it was barely understandable, he prayed that prayer. And he trusted Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. He never got well enough to ever come to church. But I believe that whenever I preach that man's funeral, I got to preach the funeral of a man who knew Jesus as Savior. I went to room 308 at San Jacinto Hospital. I went there to visit a lady in our church by the name of Sharon. And I walked in, and there in that bed, I didn't stop and at the information desk. I knew which room Sharon was in. But when I walked in there, there's this black man in the bed, and I said, "You're obviously not Sharon." He said, "No, I'm Frank." And he had his brother with him and his sister with him. And I said, "Well, you know, since I'm here," I just walked around the bed, and I said, "Frank, do you know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior? And have you ever asked Him to forgive you of your sins and come in your heart and save you?" He said, "Well, I'll be honest with you, preacher. No, I haven't." Now, folks, all I can tell you is just under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, God told me to do that. And I said, and I'll never forget this. I said, "Well, Frank, is there any reason that you wouldn't be willing to trust Jesus as your Savior right now?" And his sister spoke up and said, "He don't have a reason." And I said, "It's got to be Frank's decision, though." And he looked at me and he said, "Preacher, I really don't have a reason." And I shared with him what Jesus said we must all do to be saved. And I had the privilege of him putting his hand in mine and leading him to the Lord. Some people say, "Brother Danny, do you believe in those deathbed conversion experiences? Like, you know, it's just not right if somebody gets saved at the last minute." And so I always look at them. So if you ever ask me this, let me give you my answer now. When people ask me that, I say, "Now, let me see if I understand your question right. You're asking me, does it upset me for the devil's guest of honor at the banquet he's preparing in hell to not show up? Did I understand your question correctly?" Oh no. I said, "Then what were you asking?" Never mind, Brother Danny, never mind. I want to share with you, for any one of you in here this morning, and you have never given your heart to Jesus, God has called this meeting together, and He has invited you here. Some of you, you have been here many times. Some of you, the first time. For some in here, it could be your last time. But whatever time it is, and if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, and you come down here this morning, and you trust Christ as your personal Savior, and this afternoon the rapture takes place, and you're like the thief on the cross, you didn't even get a chance to be baptized, I want to share with you, I'm not going to get to heaven with you and turn to St. Peter and say, "What's he doing here? Why would anybody want to do that?" We should all be so thrilled to see anyone come to Christ. But I want to share with you, Jesus is the landowner in this story. And Jesus didn't invite people to come and be and just to look on at everyone else working. He invited people to come and be laborers in the field. So I want you to think with me this morning, first of all, about the invitation. The invitation, whosoever will may come. Whosoever will may come. I have people that tell me, "Oh, I'm just so bad." I want to share something with you. Let me make sure here. He always comes to the first service. And I have witnessed to that guy and witnessed to that guy and witnessed to him. And he has told me, "Brother Danny, I am just too bad a person. I have been so bad in my life. There's just no way." And I tell you, the older I get, the more I just feel the gift of slap come over me. I just want to say, "Look, boy, just start believing." You know, I know that's not right. I know that's not right. I'm sorry. Jesus died for everyone. Now, what you waiting for? He has invited you. He invited these people to come and be laborers in his field. Now, how would some of you feel? And you have been working for Jesus ever since he extended the invitation for you to become his disciple. And then somebody got saved today and the rapture took place this afternoon. Would you be upset that they showed up along with you? Of course not. Sometimes we act like that. Notice here we have an invitation. The landowner went out and invited and just kept inviting and kept inviting. And for some, it was at the 11th hour. And for you, it may be the 11th hour. It may be the last hour that you have to respond, to become a laborer. Now, notice, he hired them to be laborers. He didn't hire them to say, but I'm going to need to come back here to the marketplace every few minutes, take a smoke break. shouldn't have said that, but anyway. I'm going to need to, I've got some other things here that I need to do, and so I'm going to be a part-timer for you. You think Jesus is looking for part-time believers? Or is he looking for us to completely sell out to him? You are never more your own than when you are owned by the Savior. Never are you more your own than whenever you are completely owned by him. And he guides you and loves on you and directs you. And the more he does that, the more you will be hooked on a feeling and high on believing. I tell you, you've never had a high like you have whenever you realize that Jesus died for you to save you from your sins and to save you from a place called hell. Now, we've talked about the invitation here. Let's talk about the compensation. You know how Jesus is going to reward those that get saved right now? The same way he's going to reward those that got saved way back yonder. When I was 11 years old, 1961, I gave my heart to Jesus. Now, I want to tell you, I've been a pretty good stinker since then. But God, because of his great grace, he chastens those who are his children. And I've got a few stripes that are well deserved. And I've got some I didn't get that I should have gotten too. But you know what? He saved me then. He saved me, and I just love working for him. There is just nothing so rewarding as seeing someone come to know Christ as personal Savior. Room 308, there was Frank, trusted the Lord. Sometime after that, went back to room 308, there was George. I'd been witnessing to George. Other people had been witnessing to George. By this time, George has now not only lost some toes, but he's lost both legs to diabetes. And George just couldn't trust the Lord. And I said, George, while there's still enough of you left to trust the Lord, don't you think you ought to do it before you run out? And George became a believer. You know, whatever it takes. You know, the Bible says that it's better to enter heaven lame than to enter hell whole. But you have a lot of people these days that don't understand that you and I are going to be paid one way or another. Either you will reap the benefits of the devil's wages or you will get in on the wages of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift, the wages of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, you've never been paid like you will get paid if you become a laborer in his field. And by the way, he didn't call you to sit and soak. You sit and soak and you'll be like a bucket of corn, you'll sour. It happens every time. Some of you that don't hunt, you ain't got a clue what I'm talking about, but anyway. God saved us to serve, not sit. He didn't go and hire the laborers and say, come into the field and find you a shade tree to sit under. Come work. Come work. Come serve. Now, this scripture does not teach us that you get saved by the grace of God and then you have to work to keep it. I believe in the security of the believer. I believe in once saved, always saved. I believe that if you are truly saved, you are truly saved. And I believe that, for the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And there are those who stand in pulpits, and they're standing in pulpits today, and talking about how you've lost your salvation. How, you know, you were once saved and now you're not saved. And I have not found that in this book. And so if you want to go to a church like that and say, oh, it just doesn't matter where you go. Doesn't matter. As long as you go. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. For by grace are we saved through faith. And then the Bible says right after that, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. I don't work to keep my salvation. I work because I'm a child of the King. I want to serve him because I'm a child of the King. I want to serve him because one day I will stand before him and I want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. And I want to share with you that we need some workers. We need some workers and because of how God has blessed the church. We need some people who will go over there and work with those children. We need some help in the preschool area, and we need some help in the elementary area. And we don't need people to say, well, if you need me, call me. We don't need people to say, well, I'll do it every other week. Oh, come on. You have, and we don't need people to say, well, I just need to be fed. Well, get to eating. You know, get your Bible out. Start studying it. We have a lot of ways for you to be able to study your Bible. Don't just say, I need to sit in a Sunday school class. I need to be fed. I want to share with you, there is nothing that will feed you more than preparing a lesson for those little kids. And then there's nothing that will feed you more than seeing one of those little children come to know Jesus as personal Savior. And we need people who will contact the office this week and say, where do you need me to help? So may God extend that invitation and you understand his great compensation that he will give to you and to the kingdom whenever you do that. Think with me. Next, about the appreciation that this passage of Scripture talks about. The appreciation. There were guys that just didn't appreciate the people who came in, and they didn't have to sweat, and they weren't out in the hot sun, and they got the same reward. Now, this passage does not teach put it off as long as you can. Does not teach that. But it does teach that you who come to know Christ today and Jesus comes back this afternoon, that you are just as saved as this old preacher who was saved in 1961, and that you get to stand before God. You are looking at the proud alumni of the 1A boys basketball champions, state champions. My boys won it all yesterday, 50-36. They won it all. And there are seven players on the team. There's only 38 in the whole high school. when they scrimmage, they have to get some of the men from the town to come up there and practice with them so they'll have enough to even scrimmage. The eighth grade is the junior varsity at my hometown. Now, I missed playing in the state championship when I was a sophomore in high school by 2 points. And the team that beat us, Kennard, breezed through. No one was even within 15 points of them in the state championship. I want to tell you something else. The team I played on when I was a sophomore, we were better than that team that won it all yesterday. We were. But let me tell you something. I am so happy for them that they won it all and we missed it by this much. I'm still just as happy for them as if it had been me being on the court with them yesterday. And Jesus says to all those laborers, look, didn't I give you what I promised? And didn't I give you what is right? And I want to share with you, Jesus has something so right for you. So what's the hesitation? We've talked about the invitation and the compensation and the appreciation. What's the hesitation? What's the hesitation? Who you work for? What wages are you being paid? I want to invite you to be a laborer in the field. I want to invite you to know Him as Savior and work for Him till Jesus comes. I want to invite you to not be grumbling, but to be grateful that He has given us an opportunity to love on others with the love of Jesus and make Him famous. Father in heaven.
Once again, we'd like to thank you for joining us for Sharpening Our Souls, the ministry of Old River Baptist Church. If you'd like to contact this ministry, you can do so by visiting www.oldriverbaptist.com or you can call the office at 281-576-6030. Our mailing address is 12948 FM 1409, Dayton, Texas, 77535. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to seeing you next week for another edition of Sharpening Our Souls.